When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Age of Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Steve. I just want to let you know that for all the latest on our podcast, hit us up at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're also on Patreon if you want to check that out. But our homepage is with the Age of Radio Network at ageofradio.org/everythingilearnedfrommovies. And if you're looking for some amazing art, check out my wife's Etsy page at untidyvenus.etsy.com. All kinds of great stuff there. Also, follow us at PodcartFest, that's PodcartFest, for our periodic art and podcasting festival that we're going to be hosting. It's actually pretty cool. Check it out. So yeah, on that note, let's get to the show.
Everything I learned from movies helps to make life a little bit groovy. With a one-liner plot holes, a gratuitous movies. It's time to get busy with your friend Steven Izzy.
Instead of belonging to the most exclusive golf club in the county...
Trespassing again, Ella.
Uncle Al.
The McGregors own the most run-down miniature golf course on Earth.
Like, they shouldn't call it McGregor's putt-putt. They should call it McGregor's...
And when a greedy relative tries to buy them out...
You're going to lose this property by the end of the week anyway. Why not keep it in the family?
I'll never sell.
Five surprise visitors from the prehistoric past...
40! Pewee dinosaurs!
...will help them turn their business around.
What do you think this is? Dino putt? That's it! Dino putt! We'll make a fortune!
No matter how much you fix up that miserable miniature golf course of yours, all it'll ever be is a mecca for kiddies, losers, duffers, and low-class hackers.
Now, Uncle Hal's moving in on the action.
I want you to fix it so that mini putt goes bye-bye.
But the world's oldest party animals have some moves of their own. Don't miss the thrills.
Thank you.
Don't miss the spills. As Moonbeam Entertainment presents a comedy that's far above par.
I just love happy endings.
Pre-Hysteria 3.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. And tonight.
Oh, tonight.
We are continuing Dinovember with 1995's Pre-Hysteria 3. They made three of them. They sure did, guys. But babe.
Steve.
We're not alone for this one.
We're not.
No. I know Drew's been with us for the first two Pre-Hysterias, but we needed an expert point of view for this movie because I have some questions. And of course, we have with us from Kobo Studios, Hanai.
Hello. Hello. How is everyone?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. Super excited to talk about this movie.
Yeah. Excellent. Should we all do it in our worst Scottish accents?
Oh my God.
That would be very funny good.
That would be a bloody nightmare.
Well, maybe a little later, but first, I don't know about you, babe. I am a little thirsty.
I am very sober and I can't be for this movie. So we have from Sam Adams Brewing Company, Jacko Pumpkin Ale.
Yeah.
It is
spooky pumpkin centric.
Sam Adams, Jacko. Perfect for fall. Jacko's cinnamon and nutmeg aromas recall memories of freshly baked pumpkin pie. Has an ideal balance of seasonal spices with fresh crisp, refreshing finish. This pumpkin ale pairs perfectly with transition of summer into cooler days and nights.
Nice.
Gonna pop this top. Oh, my top.
Nice. Open it up with a raptor claw, of course.
Yeah. And the pour. This is a beautiful golden ale. I am totally getting the aromas just off the pour.
Yeah, a lot of spice. Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful off-white foamy heads dissipating quickly.
Dissipating quickly. Yeah, yep. It smells like pumpkin pie, pretty much. Like all the spices, the allspice, the nutmeg, the clove, all that.
Mm-hmm. Steve's going in for the sip.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's on the sweeter end.
Mm-hmm.
Very malt forward, and like basically the only bitterness is kind of like from the spices, really.
It's weirdly sweet, right?
Yeah.
This is sweeter than the one we've had before.
Yeah, I think it's like a pumpkin pie ale kind of thing. Okay. Like it's almost sickeningly sweet.
Yeah. It's kind of cloying.
Yeah. How about you, Hannah? You drinking anything on your end?
I am, actually. Coincidentally, I'm also having a pumpkin flavored drink. It's from Southern Tier Brewing Company. It's called the Warlock Imperial Pumpkin Stout.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's a darker beer. It is. Like, I don't actually think I've had pumpkin, like a pumpkin drink in a while. So yeah, it's pretty.
Have you had an Imperial Stout before?
Yes. Okay. My husband, Jason, he loves Imperial Stout. So I've tried a couple in my day. they're hardcore, but so I only have it once in a while, but this is really good, actually. Yeah. Has a punch. Like, it's, you know, it's heavy, but it's also a little sweet. I guess that's the pumpkin part, but it's pretty good.
Excellent. Oh, sounds delicious.
Nom, 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 nom.
Speaking of delicious, Prehysteria 3, am I right?
Hey, it's as good as haggis.
Oh my God. Amazing.
From director David DiCoteau.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Are you familiar with the works of David DiCoteau and I?
No, I wrote a big old who are these people when the credits started rolling.
Well, that's why I'm here to help. David DiCoteau, guys, you probably know him as the director of A Talking Cat. And he's made hundreds of movies. Like, I think he did that Snow White horror movie that we watched a couple years ago. I'm trying to think of one specifically on the podcast we've seen, but like a bunch of like the Puppet Master ones, like the sequels. Basically, if you need a movie done in like 2 weeks, he's the guy you give 10 grand to, and he'll make you something, including a lot of porn. Not really porn, just the like oh my god, like the Skinamax kind of stupid softcore stuff.
Softcore, yeah.
Good stuff. But this movie was written, it's basically the same guys as Prehysteria 2. So we have based on the original idea by Pete Von Scholey. Who's he? This is his only writing credit. He's a storyboard artist for over 80 movies, including Vamp, The Blob, Heathers, Child's Play, Society, Darkman, Ticks, Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings, the Fantastic Four movie 1994, the good one, The Mask, Shawshank Redemption, Mars Attacks, Green Mile, Dinosaur, Scooby-Doo, The Mist, Zookeeper, Jack and Jill, and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. I don't know what to feel about this, because I'm like, oh wait, first I was like, I've never heard of any of these, and I'm like, wait, those are good movies, and then I'm like, and then like, wait, those are not good movies. Like, I just had a whole range of emotions while you were reading that list.
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption and Jack and Jill. Yeah. Another writer, screenplay by Michael Davis. Who's he? He did this, Double Dragon, and he is the writer director of Shoot 'Em Up, one of the greatest movies ever made. And here we go. Screenplay by Neil Rutenberg. He wrote Deathstalker 2. Mad Dog Cole, C-O-L-L, whatever that is. Bad Blood. Not that Bad Blood, the one we watch for the grind band. No, this is the Lorenzo Lamas action flick.
Okay.
Not the incestuous. Oh my God, that movie's weird.
Oh my God.
Starring a bunch of porn stars. And yeah. Surprised that was directed by David D. Cato. This, Magic Island, two episodes of the Extreme Ghostbusters, and one episode of Godzilla the series.
Nice.
Yeah. Excellent.
And of course, starring in this movie, I only have three names written down. just about everybody in this pops up in like the Moonbeam pictures or Full Moon pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
But we have Whitney Anderson as Ella, the girl.
Yeah.
Bill Moseley pops up in this movie for a cameo as the director. Who's he? Bill Moseley, you probably know from a bunch of like Rob Zombie movies and just horror flicks. Kind of looks like Jeff Fahey. He was the bad guy in Prisoner of the Ghostlands, the Nick Cage classic that everybody's already forgotten. And of course, everybody's favorite, Fred Willard, RIP, as Thomas McGregor, Ella's dad.
Oh my gosh.
And how'd you watch this movie? Was this your first time watching Pre-Hysteria 3?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was ours too.
I watched it on Amazon Prime. Ooh. So luckily it was free.
Oh yeah, this is on Prime, Tubi, Peacock, Sling TV, Freevee. They will not accept your money to watch this movie.
Good. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
It's free everywhere. You know? we start off with like, I don't know, a little backstory about the spirit of Quinaba or something like that. I'm like, wait, what? What is it? But apparently it's like this ancient Aztec thing. And then we get like a previously on Pre-Hysteria 1 and 2 montage for like 5 minutes where it's like, yeah, remember in the first movie, there's these eggs that hatch and then they go on a good adventure. And then they got loose again when they got scooped up with a bunch of raisins and shipped off to some rich kid. Hey, Jinx and Sue.
Yeah, that exposition went by so fast. I honestly didn't even know that was like previously on, like, because I was scribbling notes already from like minute, you know, zero. So I kind of like was only half listening. So I think I like didn't catch everything, but it was crazy.
Yeah. You can imagine it'd be like, wait, what's going on? Why are there dinosaurs? And then it's like, okay, on to the movie.
Yeah. It was really fast. I was like, okay, well, it's okay. I can do this.
Yeah. I'll fill in the answers later, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll come back to these answers on the test, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, we go to the Kings Road Country Club golf course. And I don't know. We see like a video or a little like a commercial being shot for a ball monogrammer. But we're at the golf course and they're shooting this commercial for a ball monogrammer, with like the local pro or whatever. They're like, you know, doing this thing, hi, I'm Hal McGregor, and you know, blah blah right. blah blah blah. you ever have trouble trying to find your balls on the golf course? Well, that's why you gotta monogram them like the pros do. And then
I never leave home without my custom ball monogrammer.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we see a little girl. Like how old is she? Like 10, 12, maybe?
Yeah. Like
yeah.
12.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say 12.
And she's, lining up and she's got this horrible Scottish accent she's going to use throughout the movie. Like, oh, and I'm not going to sign up here at the St. Andrews Bay, blah, blah, blah. And she swings and the ball crashes through the window right where they're shooting the commercial. Hal guy is like, and working on your game, it'll help you avoid distractions like that. And the director is like, cut. Told you I'd get it one take. You owe me 10 bucks. Yeah. And yeah, that director is Bill Moseley. Make sure you see him because he's not coming back later. But yeah, basically, I just have written down, oh yeah, one take, just like everything in this movie, I assume. But we find out that the pro is her uncle Hal, and you know, she's like, oh sorry, my ball come in here, my bad. But yeah, we then cut to across town where the old man from Pre-Hysteria 2 is just driving slow as shit down the road. And he like pulls over and everyone's following him, pulling him off the road and then yelling at him for being in the road. And I'm like, wait, movie? What are we doing? What are we doing right now? And he's like, oh, you're holding me up. Get that wretched thing off the road. I'm like, he is off the road. Go around on the road, dumbass. Yeah, so that's going on. And yeah, I don't know. We get the little niece, Ella, or whatever. She's being harassed by some of the fucking caddies of the country club who are just fucking doofs, whatever. And I don't know. They were like chasing her to like pay a fine or whatever for playing there because I guess she's not allowed. Who cares?
Right. But she's like, I was so confused because they're like, maybe they're supposed to be teenagers, but like they're clearly adults. I'm like, who are these adults? Like, you know, harassing a child.
Right?
Yeah, it's like 25-year-old guys who are pretending they're like 15 or 16.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't catch that they're caddies and that they were uniforms. So I'm like, are these triplets? Because they all look the same to me.
Yeah, they're kind of dressed like Tweedledee and Tweedledum
or something. Yeah, exactly.
I was more like, oh no, are these the guys from like Clockwork Orange or something? Just in this weird universe.
Yeah, I was so confused that they were all wearing the same clothes. It didn't even occur to me that it was like a uniform for like the golf course. So that was all weird. And of course the accents.
Oh god, yeah, they're like, chasing her around and she's doing like her oh beam me up, Scotty, or oh I can't run any faster than the lithium like, crystals tip, and shit. Like, yeah. Oh god damn it,
like,
dude.
Tip 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 cheerio, like it was so weird.
Yeah, but then she runs into her slacker brother, who I guess is also a caddy there, and she's like, you gotta help me. And the brother's response is total brother's response, is like, you sound like a tard when you talk like that. And I'm like, oh, it's true. He's like, yeah, no can do. I work here, man. And then, yeah, there's more chasing and I don't know, there's like these nerd kids like in the country club, like, oh man, nothing ever happens here. We're just here like, what are they doing, like playing chess or something or some car or go fish or gin rummy or something.
Yeah, I'm playing bridge. I think they said bridge.
Bridge. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes, like, that's right. Because these kids are old men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
they're the weirdest kids.
Yeah, just the weirdest. But yeah. So she goes running through the country club and runs into her uncle, and of course the uncle's like, "What are you doing here? Go back to your dad's place. That shithole putt putt across the way or whatever." So then we cut to that shithole putt putt, McGregor putt putt, which apparently is like just off the eighth hole from this golf
course. Yeah, it's like part of the golf course.
Yeah, when they did the wide shot, it was literally just like in the middle of another course.
Yeah, it looked like people just stored a bunch of golf shit there, like in the trees or whatever, and walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it we go there. It's run down. But apparently we get to meet the parents, the McGregors, Ella's parents or whatever. And the parents are like, hey, we see the dad, Fred Willard, and he's like, oh, you're not supposed to be on the golf course. No more golfing. Oh, I hate golfing. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we get the backstory, I guess, that he was a pretty good golfer up until he missed one putt 30 years ago or whatever. And
yeah,
I don't know, has hated it ever since. Okay, wow. And I just have written down, so she's not really Scottish, right? Like, she's just sounding that way because quirk? I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, she's like a super fan of Scottish golf or something.
It's her heritage, and she's trying to tap into her heritage, and everyone around her is not guiding her in the proper manner. But we do find out mom is French, although... Yeah. French via New York or Jersey?
Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah, when they said French, I was waiting for like the bad accent from the mom or whatever to be like, oh, you know, that. No, she's like straight up from fucking Jersey. Like,
yeah, Long Island or something.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. We get a whole bunch of the uncle comes over and is like, hey, your daughter was, you know, fucking around on my golf course again. And like, oh yeah, sorry, we'll keep an eye on her, blah, blah, blah. And the mom is like making these giant like art pieces out of, I assume, yeah, like scrap metal and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the uncle's like, hey, what's this one? And it's like obviously a statue of him. And it's like boob descending a staircase.
Yeah. And that's like a wasted Duchamp reference, which I'm like, what is that doing in this movie? Like, it was so crazy.
Yeah. That's from a writer, Michael Davis? No, I don't know. I don't know. One of the see what happens. Oh yeah, so I don't know. There's like a squeaky door and the dad like freaks out about it and he's like, I'll get some oil to take care of that squeak. I hate squeaking. I don't know, haggis happens, and then we cut to girl playing bagpipes. And
yes, bagpipes.
Because what everybody wants is a preteen playing bagpipes.
Yeah.
Also, bagpipes aren't cheap. It's like, where'd you get sell the bagpipe?
Yeah, it's like, I found him at the golf course. Uncle Hal said I could take him. Get him the fuck out of here. I don't want him. Yeah. But while she's, you know, in the woods there at the walking around the rundown putt-putt playing her bagpipes, she hears a noise. What's that? And then, oh shit, she finds dinosaurs with name tags on them. And that's right. It's a dinosaur movie, guys. Did we forget about that?
Oh my gosh. Her acceptance of dinosaurs was like so quick. That was like so fun. It's like, I thought you were extinct. Cut to, your names are rockers.
Yeah, Elvis and Jagger and Hammer and Paul. Yeah.
It was like 2 seconds of shock.
Yeah, that is a running theme in this trilogy of movies. Like, everybody's like, oh, what's your name, fella? Not, Jesus Christ, it's a fucking dinosaur. They're just very accepting of everybody. And, I mean, we should all be so nice, right?
Right.
Very progressive. Yeah, very progressive.
What's your name, little buddy? Jason Voorhees. What? And then, yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, you're all named after rockers. Unfortunately, you're not after the greatest Scottish band of all time, the Bay City Rollers.
No, like, 11-year-old in the history of ever has known Bay City Rollers.
Well, maybe if they were 11 in 1976, but...
Maybe.
I mean, maybe if, like, their uncle was a Bay City Roller.
Yeah. Yeah, so then... I don't know. She starts playing around and like the dinosaurs hit a hole in one and a bunch of Scottish gibberish. Like, okay, moving on. But apparently she's finding out the dinosaurs are, I guess, her good luck charm because she's able to actually putt good and stuff. I don't know. But then she sees something under a piece of scrap metal. What is that? It's the putter in the stone. What?
What?
And then I've written down her Scottish accent is worse than the Highlander. The dad comes over and is like, oh, I couldn't hear you making that god awful bagpipe music. I just wanted to make sure you're okay. Oh no, what are you doing? Why did you have this putter in the stone here? Put it back. I don't know. Hijinks ensue.
Hijinks ensue.
Yeah. Yeah. And then back at the country club. All right, Hanai, this is why I'm glad you're here.
Oh my gosh.
You're at the country club. And yes. Uncle Hal and his lead caddy guy or whatever, they're pitching, trying to sell the course to Japanese investors.
Yes.
And I take us through the scene. And please, let us know if this is accurate.
So, yeah, his potential investor is Mr. Yamamoto, a Japanese businessman who doesn't say a word. And they're trying to figure out why he doesn't say anything. And I think the uncle's lackey thinks it's because, like, he hasn't heard enough jokes from them yet or something, and he starts saying really lame golf jokes.
Hey, Hanai.
Oh, he says he likes to be entertained first.
Yeah, they like to be entertained. Like, Hanai, why did Arnold Palmer have two sweaters? Because he got a hole in one. Ah!
Oh my God. Amazing.
And that's when Mr. Yamamoto pulls out a sword, performs harakiri upon himself, and the end of the credits. No, but yeah, Mr. Yamamoto, he just no sells it, not talking. And then he's like looking out the window, and he sees the white child of the golf course with the little putt putt in the woods. And they're just like talking behind him, like, he's probably just hating that eyesore out there. We gotta get that golf course and tear it down so we can sell this place. So then we cut to Ella's room.
Oh my God.
Hanai, what is on her walls?
I don't know why, but they're all black and white photos of like famous Scottish people, I guess.
It's Scotty from Star Trek.
Yeah, Scotty from Star Trek.
The Bay City Rollers and Sean Connery is James Connery. Bond.
Yeah.
Yes. All black and white.
Fantastic.
That's what 11-year-old girls in the 90s dreamed of, right? Am I right, Izzy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, she's like asking the ghost of Sean Connery for advice or something. Yeah. And I'm like, he's not dead yet, madam.
Yeah, very much still in the prime of Sean Connery.
Yeah, see, 95, like he has turned down major franchises after this happened.
Right?
Yeah.
What was he doing in 95?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No, that was 99.
Isn't it like Hunt for Red October or something? No.
Yeah, that was like 90.
What's the one with him and
Big Forrester?
Him and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, Entrapment. That was 2000.
Oh, Entrapment.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, what was he doing in the mid-90s? Goddamn.
Highlander.
Yeah, Highlander.
Highlander 2, I think, was 91 or something like that. Yeah. But he wasn't in the third one, thank God. Anyway, I don't know. Even like Last Crusade was like 1990. Maybe he just took like 7-8 years off or something for a while there. And then they brought him back with money and like, hey, you want to be Gandalf? No. How about Orpheus in the Matrix movies? Fuck that. I don't understand it. How about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Fuck yeah, bro. Well, I'm out now, dog. Anyway. So praying to Connery for whatever reason, like, oh, help me so we can make the parents have to make like their, I don't know, lump payment on the loan to like keep the land or whatever. It's called taxes, guys. they have to pay their taxes, apparently. Because even when you own land, you still have to pay taxes. Why?
Yeah.
It's definitely not indentured servitude. Don't worry about it. Then she asks her mom about the putter in the stone, like what by the way, the putter in the stone is just like a putter in a big thing of cement, just like, oh yeah, I can't pull it out, oh no, whatever. But yeah, then the mom's just kind of a hippie from New Jersey or whatever, and like tells him about the dad's backstory, like, oh yeah, he was on his way to being a big time golfer, but then he choked and, you know, no pro career, a bird chirped or something when he was trying to get that putt, and that's why he doesn't like the squeaky noises.
She also said that she followed him from like tournament to tournament, like she was like a golf groupie or something.
Yeah, she also said something like it's her art that like inspired him or something like that.
He was like, very strange.
Yeah.
She was a hippie artist, golf groupie. As we
like,
all are.
You need to lay out the hash. Like
yeah.
Yeah, but then I don't know. She apparently the mom then like shows off her like Brachiosaurus statue that she's been doing, not knowing that there's dinosaurs in her house. But just like out of the blue, like she was just inspired. Maybe she felt it in the air.
No, she specifically did it because I call it extinction, just like our golf course.
That's right. Yeah, the putt putt. It's like volcanoes and like cavemen.
No, it's going to be. No, it's all like British themed, like knights and shit. She did the thing because they're about to lose it. They have 1 week to raise the money on their balloon payment or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was the knights like hitting each other in the head. Yeah.
Yeah, because they use that same stock footage 11 times.
Oh yeah, they do.
Oh yeah. But also, okay, I have to go back to the fact that the haggis, because I think the girl is eating haggis in this scene. But like,
oh, yeah.
Why is she eating haggis from like a plastic bucket or whatever she's eating it from? And like, B, like, I don't think that's what haggis looks. I mean, I've had haggis. It kind of just looks like it's fried, isn't it? It's not like slop. Yeah,
it's basic, like the way it can be prepared a bunch of different ways. But yeah, it's like boiled in a sheep's stomach. But usually you like, you know, you don't cook the whole stomach. You like cook it's almost like a sausage in a way. Like you just cut like a little piece of it and fry it up, heat it up real quick. And then, you're just eating.
It's like Scrapple, inside. It's called.
Yeah. A little bit like
she's she's eating slop from a plastic bucket, and I'm like, this is not haggis.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in the 90s they didn't know like what haggis looked like in America. It was kind of like sushi. Like they know it's a thing and it looks like this,
right? But
like,
they just know that it's like quote unquote disgusting. So they're like, you got to make it look disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, see, we're slowly transitioning from souffle humor to haggis humor here in the mid-90s.
Anyway, sorry, sidebar.
Oh, no, of course. No, not at all. yeah, so then, Ellen and the dinosaurs, they start cleaning up the putt-putt because they're like, oh, yeah, we... And they're, like, selling it to, like, the nerd kids playing at it for, like, $3 a pop or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, and if you need snacks, we got plenty of haggis. I'm like, huh, I don't even know what that is. I'll try it. And
it's actually pretty good.
Yeah. So then Fred Willard, the dad or whatever, shows up. He's like, what are you doing? Oh my God, you've cleaned up this place. Oh, you can't do this. You're making money. Boo. I don't
know. Why don't you go ride the bike I got you? Bikes are great.
Yeah. I don't know why that was a thing. But and all of his like turning around, like tripping on kids, like having fun around him or whatever. He ends up falling into like the moat of the castle over there. Cool. And then I don't know. Yeah, they're trying to raise money for the bank payment. We got to do that. And then Ella like is like, "Hey, Dad, I got to show you something. These are my new friends." And the dad reacts exactly like I would have. Oh, dinosaurs! Cha-ching! And then we get the big fixing montage where they're like, they got the fake Elvis music playing from the other movies. Yes. And they're just like turning into like volcanoes and cavemen and shit.
I mean, it was one of the lamest fixing up the course montage I've ever seen, because like, I think like the first minute was just them trying to like move the dinosaur sculpture, but like really long. They were like struggling for about a minute. I'm like,
it's called runtime.
They
got to fill out that 80 minutes to technically be a movie. And so it's like, we can just, it's falling apart here. Yep. Spare no detail. Let the audience know.
It was like, it was happening in real time.
Yeah.
But like, okay. So when you said cha-ching, like dinosaurs. So I thought so too. Like, oh my gosh, they could like, you know, like put them on a show, like display the dinosaurs. But like what actually happens is they don't use the dinosaurs. They just like turn the putt-putt course into dinosaur themes, but they don't actually use the dinosaurs.
And no, they're like, still like hiding the dinosaurs like under the kitchen and stuff. Like, you know, like in the bottom shelf of the kitchen.
They're actually just roaming around and like no one cares. And like, and what does they just change the puppet course into dinosaur theme? And like, you could have done this without ever meeting the dinosaurs. Like, what was the point of seeing the dinosaurs? I did.
It could have been like, guys, we have dinosaurs. $10, you get to see them.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't make enough money.
It's like your cha-ching is weird. That's not like his cha-ching was like, we should make the puppet course dinosaur themed.
Yeah. I think you're adding extra unnecessary steps. I don't
Like just put the dinosaurs on a stage, make them dance, and then don't even have to renovate. It's weird.
Oh, and then towards the end of the montage, we had a sign pop up that had a lot of words and stuff on it, but it's like, wait, did that sign say you pull the putter out of a dino's butt? And I'm like, no, but let's rewind to find out exactly what it said.
I 100% thought that it said pull it out of dino's butt.
Yeah, it was basically like, no, it's a, you know, see, if you can pull the putter out in 30 seconds or less, you win a round at Dino Putt, the name of the putt-putt place. And I'm like, oh, that makes much more sense.
That could have looked like butt. Yeah, yeah, I see it.
Yep. And then, okay, here's the other thing about Cha-Ching that they don't seem to understand. Like, okay, yeah, they got people playing there, blah, blah, blah. And try some of our complimentary dino burgers. Fred Willard, you shut the fuck up. Why are you handing out free burgers?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, especially when he says, oh, they're selling like hotcakes. Of course they are, because they're fucking complimentary.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I was really fucking confused.
He wanted to make the money at this point.
I'm like, yeah, you dumb bastards. You don't deserve that putt-putt.
Like, yeah, instead of like putting them out on a show or like a zoo or something, they're just using them as like summer temps. You know, they're just like work in the kitchen or something. It's like, that's what teenagers are for, not dinosaurs. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, but then we get to one of my favorite scenes of this movie. I'm not going to lie. So yeah, they see that there's like lines going into the putt-putt there at the golf course. And the older brother, he's still like a caddy there or whatever. And there's some rich twat guy, whatever. He's just like, you know, oh, I wish that eyesore would just burn down and those horrible people that live there, blah, 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 go away. And the brother's like, you know what, dude? Fuck you. That's my family. I quit. Suck a dick, dumb shits. Like, throws his bag of clubs and stuff at him and walks away. And I'm like, fucking A, bro.
But
quite that vulgar. I'll give you that. But
no, it's even weirder. He calls him an uppity twink. And I'm like, I don't think that's what you think it means. Right. I'm like, bro, I don't think that's what you think it means.
No. He I think he says like, I'd rather be poor with them than work for like work serving a bunch of uppity twinks.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. I'm like, oh, that's what they use instead of the swear words. I gotcha. But amazing. Yeah, then the brother goes over and he's like, hey, how can I help out? I may have just the job for you. And he dresses up as a dinosaur, like on the side of the road, like, hey, come on in for the putt-putt, you know? Yeah, so then we see Ella practicing, I don't know, that night or whatever next to the home. And the dad's like out the window, like, hey, looks great. Try tightening your back arm. That might help with the aim or something. And I'm like, oh, wait, was he the one that suggested the happy thought?
Yeah.
The dad's like, hey, just, you know, to help focus, just keep thinking about your happy thought. And I'm like, Happy Gilmore, you hack. I guarantee you Adam Sandler has seen Pre-Hysteria 3.
Amazing.
But the dad gives the girl a beer, a ginger beer, and they toast, and it's kind of cute, like, whatever, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut back to Mr. Yamamoto at the country club. Hanai, what happens here?
I think there's like still trying to figure out why he doesn't speak, and I think they throw him a couple more lame jokes.
Yeah, I don't remember the lame jokes in this scene, but yeah, but then eventually the uncle, he's like talking to Niedermeyer is the lead caddy's name or whatever, and he's like, hey, I need you to make these putt-putt guys go bye-bye or whatever. I'm like fucking whack them? What are we talking about? Like, no, just make sure, you know, destroy the stuff so they can't make the bank payment and blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, cool, whatever. And then we get a scene of Niedermeyer like breaking into the putt-putt. And he's like, you know, black turtleneck with slightly blacker turtleneck. I don't know. And I don't know. He's just like crawling around and I don't know what the hell he's really planning on doing. But then Ella sees him and is like, hey, get the fuck out of here. And they start like fighting with putters, like their swords or something.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, he says one of my most favorite lines of the movie when he's like bickering with Ella. He goes, now I can kick your anus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna say this from now on, I think, because I don't think I've ever heard that in a movie before.
Yeah, what was it? It was like
welcome to space, now I can kick Uranus or something.
Yeah, something really bad like that. But then, okay, what happens is while they're fighting, Rex, the T-Rex, little T-Rex or whatever, just like walks up, bites his zipper and pulls it down, and I'm like, oh my god, what's about to happen? is Rex about to bite his dick off?
Right? Yeah, I thought that too.
But instead, yeah, so he pulls the zipper down and then bites him on the ass because Niedermeyer had pulled out some like icy hot or something that he was threatening to like throw on her, and instead drops it down his pants.
Yeah.
And then he's like, cold. Hot.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like an immediate, it was so weird because it wasn't like an immediate reaction. So it was like kind of even weirder.
Yeah. And then he zips up real quick. And I swear it made like a pop noise.
Yeah. Like I thought it stick popped.
Yeah. Like it got caught in the zipper or something, but it just like pop. What? Hello? What happened, movie? I don't know. Guys, check it out. Let us know. and then, I don't know. What happens from here? The next day at the putt-putt, the uncle shows up with the health inspector or whatever, Stutz. This actor, what was it? He was in the... You've seen him in things. He's kind of like a Patton Oswalt-looking kind of guy. But a little gruffer, you know what I mean?
He kind of looks like Orson Welles or something.
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. He was the park ranger from The Rock. You know, the 1995 classic, the same year, by the way. The Rock, he's the Alcatraz tour guide. Guys, people out there know what I'm talking about, right? High five, click.
Well, right, I think he was... I think he was doing a really great job with what he was giving.
Yeah. Like he's like, I'm here looking for rats. I heard you got a rat infestation.
He was not phoning it in, which I can't say for most of the people in this movie. So yeah. I think he should receive some props for like not phoning it in.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he pulls out like a bionic ear and I've got no luck finding rats. So I guess I'm just going to have to quarantine this place. And I'm like, no, that's not how it fucking happens, sir. Get off my putt-putt. That's all that would have been.
Yeah, it's like we now all know how quarantine works. So bye.
Yeah, but instead, movie got a movie. So it's like Fred Ward's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And the uncle's like, well, you could always sell to me. And he's like, no, I'll never sell. Blah, blah, blah. And then we just kind of like fade to night. And the dad's like drinking. I think he was drinking Spaten.
I think he was drinking Spaten.
Yeah. Which I'm like, good for him. Good for him. Have those on hand with the ginger beer, right? But and he's just watching video of himself, choking. Like it's, black and white, whatever, on the TV. Yeah, what happens? Yeah, the kids, they like are watching and I don't know. They decide like, hey, we need to sneak into the country club for some reason. I don't even know why they were doing this, but they go and they see the uncle, they're like sneaking around, whatever. And they see the uncle. And apparently the uncle just can't figure out how to eat sushi with the chopsticks or whatever. Yes. So he's still trying to woo Yamamoto.
Yes.
But you know who can eat that sushi? Those goddamn dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They can also drink that sake too. You see Elvis or whatever just pop that shit back.
Hugging that sake.
Yeah. Is that the traditional way of drinking sake?
Oh yeah, yeah. Just like bathe in it. Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of splash it in your mouth.
The travel shows I've watched, I believe that you drink sake till you fall over.
Yeah. But it has to be warm.
Yeah, get a one-to-one size bottle of sake.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Steve,
bathe in it. Yeah,
you're gonna die. I'm afraid you're gonna die.
Probably. Damn, rice wine. Yeah. So then then we get another weird scene, because so this is going on, and I don't know, Rex, like, I don't know, throws some sake and it splashes and hits the uncle in the face when he's not, or splashes him in the crotch first. And yeah. He's like, oh, I see, Mr. Yamamoto. I've finally gotten a rise out of you. Well, feel free to continue what you're doing.
You're trying to test and see if I will lose my cool. Well,
yeah.
Do whatever you need to. I will never lose my cool. I am a very strong man. I have a penis.
I mean, this and like the early icy cold thing, like now that you've told me that this guy does softcore, it's like I see it now.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
This children's movie, which is really disturbing, but also makes sense now.
Yeah. But then, you know, yeah, he was getting more splashed in the face or whatever. He's like, ha ha ha, I'm glad we've come to an agreement. Like, wait, what? what is happening? It's okay, though, because the main course is being brought out on a silver platter. You take the top off, and there's Elvis! And Mr. Yamamoto does not react at all to a Tyrannosaurus Rex, live T-Rex being served to him in a silver platter. And the uncle's just kind of like, wait, what's going on here? It's those damn kids again, you know?
Right. I mean, he has the most sane reaction to seeing a dinosaur, but I guess even then, he's pretty cool about it. So it's weird.
Yeah. So then he's like, all right, kids, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I want to buy the place. If you can convince your dad to sell to me, I'll make your dreams come true. Brother man, I'll get you that guitar you've been wanting. And Ella, I'll get you some lessons with some real golf pros to get you trained, and we'll see if we can get you on the goddamn pro tour. I don't care at this point. I just want your gut putt-putt. And she's like, no, never sell. You're like the dark prince of golf, and all you want to do is exploit it. And the brother's like, well, hear him out, sis. Dad's not going to make the payment anyway, so we just want to go over our options, right? Yeah. All right, so then the next morning, they're like, oh, man, what are we going to do? We got to make some money. And we don't have any options, sweetie. I don't know what we could possibly do. The dinosaurs have an idea. Yeah. And they start playing fucking charades.
Yes. I mean,
and they somehow get around to bet. That's it. We should make a bet with Uncle Hal. Either we'll sell to him or he'll pay off our bank loan. And I'm like, or he'll just say no thanks and get it in 3 days anyway.
Right?
Yeah. Whatever. Like, there must be something else we can do. It's like, take the dinosaurs on the road, go on Oprah or whatever.
Yeah. Open a theme park, spare no expense. Right? Yeah. But instead, like, the dad's like, oh, that's a really bad idea, because, you know, I missed that putt that one time 20 years ago. And I was like, that's cool, bro. I'll take care of it. And then she pulls the putter from the stone?
Yes.
Yep.
And
she is mortal.
Yes, right.
She is she the King Arthur.
Yeah. Yeah, Ella, like, makes the bet with Uncle Hal, and you know, Hal and Niedermeyer, they're already like, oh, you know, we're going to fucking cheat, right? Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, okay, I got it. But then the brother, you know, he was like, he was there because he was like, I'm on your side. I'm going to try to convince my dad to sell or whatever. But they're like, do you think he overheard us about the cheating part? I don't know. There's only one way to find out. The fucking caddies, like two or three of them, like holding him down. And then Niedermeyer's like, is it safe? Is what safe? What are you talking about? Like, is it safe? Like, it's about to get into like a Bond interrogation scene or whatever. And he's like, yeah, sure, it's safe. Whatever it is, it's totally safe. I can't be sure. And what did they do to him?
Well, basically they threatened and eventually do cut off his luscious locks.
No! All right, so we cut to the next day. It's game time, baby! Yeah, we see Hal and Ella. Basically, we get a little montage of them playing some golf. It's great, whatever. And then, meanwhile, we know Niedermeyer, he's hanging out the 18th hole because he's got, like, the I don't know, one of the contraptions like on a remote where like he controls it so he can, you know, screw Ella over or whatever. Cool. And then, I don't know, Ella's struggling a little bit. She's like, I'm having such a hard time focusing on my happy thought. But then, I don't know, she has a little chat with Madonna, the pterodactyl. Yes. And she's like, oh, thanks. That helped a lot. What?
I was also like, since when? Like, Madonna, like, I don't remember. Did when they first talked about the names, was there a Madonna in the first couple of names? It was all okay. Like,
Madonna was not mentioned at the beginning when she was going through the rock stars with like Jagger and Hammer and blah, blah, blah. So we found this out watching Prehysteria 2 and the fun facts. In the original movie, she was mostly stop motion because, you know, she's flying around and, you know, she's fake as shit. But to save on budget for the sequels, in the second one, her wing was broken. So she was always standing on something, and, you know, just like a puppet or whatever. And then in this one, apparently they just forget she exists for like 45 minutes at a time. And then she pops back in squeaking.
Oh, okay. So it's like a callback. Because I was like, they mentioned a Madonna in that first, you know, scene where they were talking to them for the first time.
Yeah. I assume she was flying around in the trees and she couldn't read up there. I don't know. But yeah. But yeah, the dad, he can't watch. He's just at home pacing and whatever. And, you know, and then we get all the wipes in this montage. You want a star wipe? You want one of them like clock wipes? You want a spiral wipe?
And they had a budget for one song. Like, I'm assuming that was like a pop song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, is that like fake Elvis music or whatever? Yeah, what happens? Oh, yeah. We also see Mr. Yamamoto. He's at the you know, pup competition or whatever. And he starts eating one of those dino burgers. And he's like, ooh.
Chowing down.
Yeah, but we get to the last hole. Burgers. It's all tied up. And Hal shoots. And he's just short. Oh. Meanwhile, okay. Fred Willard, he's at home watching the video of him missing that putt again for like, I assume the 10,000th time.
Yeah.
And then Hanai, what happens?
Okay, he starts going frame by frame, and he's like, frame 265, like the tree is here. And basically he figures out that there was his brother had cheated him to win. You know, he figured out that the uncle was the one who made that sound that made him.
He's like, there couldn't have been a bird there because the nearest tree is 50 yards away. And I'm like, well, that doesn't mean anything, but whatever. But he's like,
and we see in this frame, there's no birds in it. But in this frame, there's a bird noise.
Yeah, and he totally Zapruders because he does the, and you see here, you see my head go back and to the left, back and to the left, back and to the left.
Oh my God. And he's like, it's a grassy knoll. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh my God, good old JFK reference for the kids. Well, because this is a kids movie and they love a JFK reference.
Fuck yeah, they do. So then Ella sets up for her shot. And for some reason, it's like in slow-mo, like super slow-mo. And the dad's like running in like, no. And then, but we also see like the Hal, he's like taking a cigarette out and putting it to his lips. Cause you see in the video, I guess it was like a cigarette whistle or something.
Right.
But he like puts it in his lip and the dad comes in and like smacks it right out of his brother's hand or whatever. And then he's like, you fucking cheated me all those years ago when you were whistling. I thought it was a bird, but it was you. And he's like, whatever. You, your daughter made this, man. She's still got to make this putt. Otherwise, I win again. Nah. He's like, all right, good luck, Ella. I believe in you, like that kind of thing. So then she hits, misses. They lose the putt. They move to Oklahoma. Roll credits, guys. What do we think of Prehysteria 3? No. Instead, what happens tonight?
So the other part of the cheating conspiracy is that the uncle is having one of his lackeys control the dinosaur sculpture so that when the uncle hits a putt, the dinosaur sculpture will open its mouth so that like the putt goes through perfectly and all that. So the Ella's brother, dressed up as a T-Rex, finds the lackey and attacks him for having a wrestling match. And then Mr. Yamamoto is there and he gets super excited and he goes, Gojira!
Yeah!
Of course.
And then, yeah, well, they're rolling around the ground. Elvis or whatever helps out too, blah, blah, blah. Ella hits the putt and it's good. They win. Ah, we won. I don't know. Then, yeah, the brother and the dinosaurs, whoever's in the dinosaur suit, yeah, we know it's the brother, but they like take the mask off and he's got his bad haircut and he's like, man, I was going to help him out up until they cut my luscious locks or, you know, whatever. And then wouldn't you know it, the old man from the other movie shows up, is like, hey, I heard you guys had some dinosaurs for me again.
Oh my God. The goodbye was so anticlimactic. I was like laughing so hard.
Yeah. And then they have like a little fucking like, I don't know, the old guy's like driving off and Ella comes out and she's like, wait, I didn't give my going away present. And then she turns around, sees that bike, good old Chekhov's bike. Although the French version, I don't know what. And hops on.
Bianchi.
And she's chasing down this truck going 2 miles an hour. And then, ladies, what's her going away present that she gives to these dinosaurs?
God. She gives them her bagpipes.
Yep. And I just waited for the old man to look back and go, no. That's right. The dinosaurs have bagpipes now. They've blown that shit in the back, whatever, as they drive off. I don't know. But we cut back. The family's all happy. You know, they got a successful business now. She's no longer doing the Scottish. Ella's no longer doing the Scottish accent. Now she's like, bonjour, papa. Yep. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. How is this worse? But Yamamoto shows up and he's like, I would like to make this the biggest putt-putt in all the world. And we'll open up franchises everywhere, in Tokyo, in Russia. And you're going to need to make more art for all of them too, right, wife?
Oh my God, that's great.
And then, oh, that's right. And then the dad's like, I'm game. Ha 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 ha. Ah, but there is one more condition. 24-hour burger place. And he bites the burger. Fade to black, roll credits. Guys, that's a fucking movie. Would you recommend Prehysteria 3?
Yes, I would, actually.
It's so fucking dumb, but it's so cute.
Yeah, it's so stupid. It's really bizarre, but went by really fast. And yeah, I think like, if you're that kind of person, I think get super stoned and watch this.
Yes, I would recommend getting very stoned.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic movie.
How about you, babe?
You know, it's not the worst movie that we've done on this here podcast. If you're watching the other Prehysterias, why not? Yeah. It's not worse than the second one.
Yeah, finish the trilogy. Why not?
Yeah.
The worst thing I can say about it is her Scottish accent and what, oh, Bonnie Bon Good, whatever the fuck she's saying. It's like, it is horrible, but.
And it's not the kid's fault. She's a fine little actress. She is working with shit.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Genuine question. Is this a kid's movie?
Of course.
Yeah. Who was this movie for, though?
Yeah. With the JFK references City Rollers and shit. Yeah. This is a kid's movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I mean,
Japanese stereotypes. There's dinosaurs in it, Hanai. It's all the demographics.
You know, you say Japanese stereotype, but I actually thought it wasn't the worst portrayal.
No. The way I saw it is it's more stupid people assuming stereotypes and how they react to it, where he's just like, you know.
I was actually kind of impressed for like a early to mid 90s movie. This wasn't the worst. Like, he didn't have a terrible accent, and
maybe he didn't talk.
He didn't say anything.
He didn't have any lines, so that helped with that.
I mean, until he said Godzilla, but you know.
Yeah, but even so, yeah, I was kind of almost pleasantly surprised that it was like it wasn't the most terrible depiction I've seen in a 90s.
Yeah. And I have an episode of Small Wonder I'd like to show you.
No. Oh,
wait. Hanai.
Yes.
Do you know what Small Wonder is?
No, I'm scared now.
It's an 80 TV series about a guy who basically makes a little robot girl named Vicky. And it's a sitcom about this little girl robot, you know, living with them. And it's
like a real girl, right? Who just talks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who just talks like a robot.
Yeah. There's a late episode, like season four. Because, guys, I think that was on for a full four seasons, like 100 episodes. Me? It could be in syndication. Yeah, we did it for another podcast. Oh,
I believe it's the last episode.
It might have been, yeah. It might have been the one that just ended it. Yeah. They burned all the bridges behind them. But yeah. Yeah, it involves Vicky and the mom dressing up as geishas and Guys, check it out. Small Wonder. Coming soon. No. Oh, so yeah, I guess on. As far as me recommends moving, yeah, why not? Especially if you've seen the other two and you're just looking for a dumb, like, loosely dinosaur movie.
I would. Okay, by saying I recommend it, I won't you don't need to go see it. Like, I don't know, maybe if it comes across.
It's free on Peacock. It's free on Tubi. If you just gotta distract the kids for an hour and a half. Yeah, you can get worse.
Something play in the background while you work on something, or you know, I don't know, something like that. I don't recommend you go and seek it out. I'm just saying, like, I don't know, if it comes across and you're bored or something.
Yeah, until they do the Diamond Box Blu-ray restorations through Vinegar Syndrome, the whole trilogy. No, I don't know. But yeah, I'd say check it out. But on that note, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we'll be in. Fun facts and what we learned from Prehysteria 3.
One man trying to make a difference.
These rats could help us find the cures to literally all disease and ailments. They're also my friends. I've even taught them to sign, and I can understand them.
Oh, Snuggles, you're too much.
But doing good can come at a cost.
I don't understand. Snuggles is growing at a tremendous rate.
What's the serum VX8?
No. That was an experimental growth hormone from plants that helped cure world hunger, but if it was injected into Snuggles, who did this?
Dr. Castor Goodspeed, you work for us. You need to remember that. Your creations are our creations.
What have you done? What have you put this into?
I've changed the world.
There are reports of a dragon in the swamps of New Orleans.
That's not a dragon. That's a chameleon with bat wings.
Jub-Jub, you injected Jub-Jub?
He's gone! Snuggles is gone! There are now also reports of a giant nutria terrorizing Canal Street.
That's Snuggles! We have to get to the French Quarter.
Snuggles, it's okay. It's me. I'm your friend. What are you so afraid of?
Squeak.
No. Not the bees. Not the bees! Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage. Academy Award winner Marissa Tomei. Academy Award winner Christopher Walken.
All right. I heard you had some vermin that need some exterminating.
And Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey.
Oh,
From the director of San Andreas, Rampage, and Cats and Dogs, The Revenge of Kitty Galore. What do you say, Snuggles? Let's take them out. You get the bee with porcupine quills and acid spit, and I'll get Jub Jub. Rat Cage. Coming this summer. Straight to DVD.
Whoa.
This is Brendan. You're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies, and wieners are better than Snatch.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve. Those were the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Oh, she said it. Yeah. Well, babe, I don't know about you. I'm hella thirsty.
I'm still hella sober because that last beer did not quench it.
Mm.
We have from Talisman Brewing in Ogden, Utah, the Oktoberfest Märzen, 5% alcohol by volume.
Yeah.
And this is in a crowler. So this is in a 32-ounce can.
Hell yeah.
We got it at the brewery while we had a lobster truck.
That's right. We did.
Lobster food truck. Guys, get the lobster tater tots.
Fantastic. Expensive, but worth it.
I'm going to pop my top.
Ooh.
My top. Ooh, that is full. Nice. Here you go, Pickles. You can have some. And the pour. Oh, yeah. This is a very dark Märzen.
Yeah.
I am into it.
It's dark reddish brown.
Mm-hmm. It has a beautiful khaki colored head. Lots of bubbles and they're lingering.
Ooh, yeah, I'm all forward with the aroma, but...
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Going for the sip.
Steve's going in for the sip.
Mm.
Oh, is it, man, Steve?
That is good. Yeah, it's a malt forward, like little like caramel notes, little breadiness. And then the hops. Yeah, it's like the old world hops. Like it's
Overly hoppy, just enough to balance it out.
Yeah, little earthy, little piney, I guess, a little bit. But yeah, just nice, well-balanced beer. I could drink this all day.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. That's the I think it was the Talisman's Oktoberfest Märzen.
Oktoberfest.
And are you still drinking on your end?
Yeah, I'm still working on the Imperial Stout. You know, it's pretty heavy. Yeah. So on it.
Excellent. Well, would either of you be interested in any fun facts about this movie?
I don't know, Steve. Are they fun facts? Super fun facts? Because they're fun facts.
Let's find out. All right, ladies, Rotten Tomatoes. There is one critic review, and it is negative. But nobody gives a fuck about the critics. What about that audience score?
So,
and I any guess what the audience score is out of 100?
I'm going to think that it's pretty low. Maybe like in the 20s?
All right. Is he?
Hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to go with my super generous 17%.
Anaya's closest 33% with the audience. So, no budget or worldwide gross figures. Because, yeah, this was straight to DVD or whatever, straight to video. Yeah, straight to video. I'm sure it did. Okay. They didn't make a fourth one, we'll put it that way. And this is the only entry in the Prehysteria trilogy to be directed by someone other than Charles and Albert Band.
Oh, no.
And it was, of course, David DiCato. Here's 10 grand. Make me a movie. Okay. And as of 2023, this is the final entry in the Prehysteria franchise. That's about all I got for this one. But, ladies, what did we learn from Prehysteria thing? The most important thing about this movie. Hanaya is our guest. Would you like to go first?
Sure. I feel like, okay, this is like half joke, half serious. And something that I'm trying to do for myself is that, like, just, you gotta just put stuff out there, you know, like, you can't just wait for the perfect thing. Like, in terms of like making work, like, you know, it's more important to like make shit and put it out there.
Yeah, you gotta keep constantly making stuff so that then inspirational hit and the big ticket comes out or something, like, you know.
Exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah. And I'm sure like these guys maybe have not so noble purposes for these movies, but So it's like half joke, half serious. That's my thing.
And now, have you heard about the latest movie that the family band, Albert and Charles band with Full Moon Pictures that they're making?
Oh my gosh, I'm scared. What are they
doing? As of like earlier this week, they announced they are making a movie called Barbenheimer.
Really? I thought that was like a meme.
Yeah, they basically said, yeah, it's basically us putting the two movies together, but you know, in a way that's, you know, not going to get us sued.
You know what? Please don't sue us. Please don't sue us. Please don't sue us.
Yeah. Good for them if they're not scared of getting sued. Like all power. All power.
Yeah, they make a lot of these like knockoff kind of movies and stuff that, you know, you make them on a tight budget and you make $100,000 or whatever off them. It's like, oh, cool, profit. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Right.
Yeah. Hey, did you learn anything from this movie?
I mean, I learned I get to kick Uranus.
Wait, what? I learned raisins are the food of the gods.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, the raisins.
The raisins are a through story.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Hanai, did you notice the raisins were just in piles on the floor in a basement?
They're like shuffling them like coal. Yeah. I'm like, ew. Like,
with dinosaurs walking around inside, and they're just nonchalantly like, yeah, put them in the crate and ship them off. Yeah, that's a running theme in the series.
I'm pretty sure that's not how raisins are manufactured, but okay.
I mean, and if they are, I mean, kudos to Sunmade and all their wonderful sunlit basements that they have rolling around, but yeah.
That was wild.
What else did I learn? Oh, I also learned the dad really has no idea how to make money because his idea of cha-ching is full putt-putt renovation and complimentary dino burgers as opposed to, look, fucking dinosaurs, guys.
That's like, you know, bringing them on Ellen or something and you'll make a bajillion dollars.
I don't think Ellen has a bajillion dollar budget for stuff like that, but you can at least tease one of them, like bring Madonna with you or something, like, oh yeah, it's cool, pterodon, right? You know, we got fucking T-Rex when you come to the place and pay full price.
Fucking T-Rex.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for watching this movie with me. And Hanai, thank you for joining us. I understand you also have a social media presence of some sort?
I do. I have a shop on Etsy called Kobo Studio, kobostudio.etsy.com. I have many fun things like art prints, pin buttons, stickers that feature my original illustrations, mostly of cats, but there's other things too, so check it out. And for the month of December, I'm actually going to be craft fairing at Winter Fair in Hartford, Connecticut. So if you're in New England, please stop by for 2nd, 9th, and 16th of December. So I'll be craft fairing there.
Nice. And yeah, guys, definitely check out her website. The I'm a Star stickers with the cats and the keyholes are fantastic.
Oh, Everybody should. I finally made some new stuff that I'll be bringing to the craft fair. So,
are there more butthole stickers?
Maybe.
Are they going to be on the Etsy page?
Yeah, that's the next thing I have to work on.
KoboStudio.etsy.com. Check it out. Babe, are you on social media at all?
I am. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus, like a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. You can find me down in Farmington at the Juniper Market for basically the entire holiday season. You can find me up around Huntsville, and you can find me online at untidyvenus.etsy.com. We have all kinds of stuff. Oh, and you can find my dinosaur, the Snackosaur pins at the Ogden Dinosaur Park.
Yeah.
Get some Snackosaurs.
The world famous Ogden Eccles Dinosaur Park. That's right. The one that opened in 1993 with the movie world premiere of Carnosaur.
Yeah.
Ogden picks winners.
Wait, was there another movie that year? Who cares?
Who cares? Carnosaur came out first.
That's right. Beat you to it, Spielberg. All right. So, yeah, I guess on the train, the first Prehistoria movie came out that same time, too. That's right.
Yep.
Anyway, so on that note, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
I'm Hanai.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a good night, everybody. Back and to the left.
Kick Uranus.